Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining another edition of The Book Experience on Our Voice Radio. Yes, I did almost have a mental block right there. But you are listening to The Book Experience with your host, Ms. Chanel. And tonight, our special guest is Adrienne Thompson. She is the author of Better, part of the Your Love is King series. This is actually book two. And so we're going to jump right into it so that we can get to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me back. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you, and I enjoyed Better.
Oh,
I was
I'm
mad.
Glad you did.
I was angry, I was crying, I was, you put us on a little roller coaster ride.
Well, I'm glad that you had an emotional connection to it, and it's my job to send you on a ride, so I'm glad I did.
That you did. Now, let me ask you, why the title Better?
Actually, it kind of just came to me. That kind of happens a lot with me. I usually do song titles, and I don't know if I was listening to that song one day or that song jumped into my mind, and I thought, I think this will fit that book. So I knew the title before I even had the whole story in my head.
Oh, really?
So yeah. So I think it fits. It took a while for her to get to her better, but she did get to her better.
Yeah, I was nervous there for a moment. I was, oh my gosh, I was really, really nervous for Carla. For, whew, she was upsetting me. So we are talking to Adrienne Thompson, author of Better, part of the Your Love is King series. This is actually book two out of that series. And if you have read it or are currently reading, I promise you I'll try not to do any spoilers, but I don't like that myself. So I will try not to do that. Questions or comments, please press 1. Or if you are listening online, just hit the chat button and that comment section will pop up for me and I can see your question. And so you have some discussion questions at the end of the book.
Yeah.
The first question, which was very beneficial for me, question was, how do you feel about Carla and Brian attempting to reconcile?
Yeah.
Honey, I couldn't have done it.
That seems to be the general consensus. But I actually asked, I talked to a married woman, and I asked her if you caught him in the middle of his infidelity, the same infidelity that Brian committed, could you forgive him? And she said, yeah, I think I could, because she said she loved her husband that much. If he asked her for forgiveness and, you know, really repented, really tried to change his life, she said she could forgive him. And I thought, wow, really? Because I'm thinking the same thing. No, I couldn't have done it, but for her to answer me like that, I knew that there had to be someone else in the world that felt the same way. And I'm sure there are women that have done this, you know. I'm sure it's not far from being a possibility or the truth. So when she told me that, I said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to run with this.
Okay. I can see forgiving on at a different level, but no, I could. I don't think that neither would have survived, actually.
Yeah. It had it been me, yeah, they probably would have been some bloodshed, too. But I think at that moment, and I mean, this happens at the very, if you read the sample inside the book, you'll know what happened. If you've read Your Love Is King, you know she caught her husband. I just go ahead and say it with another man.
I didn't
spoil that. Well, no, it's in the very beginning of the book. So, I mean, anybody, you don't have to even buy the book to know that because it's at the beginning of the book. But so, yeah, that would be something that would be hard for anybody to deal with. I don't know that I would have been able to forgive him because it would always be in the back of my mind that it happened, it could happen again. But I think in her case, she was just in total and complete shock. And I know I would have been too if you walk in the door and you see that and you had no idea, you know. You would be in shock. And it may take a minute for that rage to come up. So when I was writing that part, that's what I was seeing in her. She was just so shocked that she didn't know how to react to it. And plus her kids were in the house. So, you know, you don't want to murder anybody with your children in the house.
Honey, listen. I don't think that when you another woman, I mean, it still doesn't make it right. Infidelity is infidelity, but
yeah.
you cannot compete with same sex infidelity.
No, you can't.
Because if
you can't.
That's what they want. That's you don't yeah. have any. You can't. There's no competition there.
Yeah, and you know, she said that. She said that she didn't possess what he needed. Y'all want it, you know. So yeah, that would be a hard pill to swallow for sure.
So why, I mean, clearly he must have loved her,
yeah.
Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Why the violence? Why the violence? Why the sudden violent tendencies? Was that just to prove his manhood?
I think it was partially to prove his manhood and partially just because he knew he was losing control of the situation. You know, as long as they were in limbo, she was still his wife. And that, in a way, I think was still a form of control. She was still his wife. So it's just, you know, to prove his manhood and because he was losing control of the situation. And honestly, in my mind, when I was writing him, he really didn't think there was anything wrong with what he was doing. But there are people out there that think, well, that's not possible. It's not possible to assault your wife in that way. You know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, some men
right,
really
right.
believe that. That's nothing wrong with that. You know, so that's the way I saw him was that he was losing his slip on his control, and he didn't see the problem. You can tell from his actions that he didn't see what the big deal was. You know.
Yes, that was yeah, I was a little taken aback, but yeah, that was yeah. He got on my nerves. He did get on my nerves.
Well, yeah, he got on mine too. So.
And then
but there would be no book
mind.
Without him.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But she got on my nerves because she was so defensive of him.
Yeah.
And she kept trying to protect him.
Yeah. Well, it was more so she was trying to protect her sons in some strange roundabout way. If that's what she felt like she was doing. She was trying to shield them. I did ask someone, you know, if your husband wanted to assault you, would you turn him in? And that person said, well, no, probably not. So I thought, oh, okay. I'll run with that. How with that too, but no, she. I think her biggest thing was for those. I hate to spoil Your Love Is King, but she had some issues in Your Love Is King, and I think that was her way of trying to rectify some of the things that went on in Your Love Is King. Was trying to watch out for her son.
Well, I can understand that, but I think in doing so, although the children didn't. See, you know, the attack,
mm-hmm.
the viciousness. But I think that kind of lets, especially male children, know that
mm-hmm.
this is acceptable.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, she was misguided in what she was doing. She really was misguided in her decisions. But part of what I do when I write is, I don't write perfect people because I don't know any perfect people. So I don't know anybody that makes the right decision every time. I don't make the right decision every time. I probably made some wrong decision today. I always try to show that you can be really messed up and really do some really, a lot of times just silly things, make really bad decisions, but you can still turn that around. So a big part of that was that she just, it was a journey she had to go on and she had to grow and realize that a lot of what she was doing wasn't the right thing and those weren't the right decisions.
Well, yes, it is a journey. It is.
Yeah.
And I can understand. I can understand the physical part
mm-hmm.
of it because, you know, I was a battered wife. So I understood
mm-hmm.
that, and I didn't leave right away. So I understood
mm-hmm.
that. But yes, the infidelity with the and he had an affair. I understood
mm-hmm.
that too with another woman, but with
mm-hmm.
another man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody has their breaking point. You know, for some people that would be a deal breaker. And for other women, you know, other things would be a deal breaker that you or I may stick around for, you know. A man, if he loses his job, they may be out the door. So, you know, it just depends on the person and the way they interpret their vows or they interpret their relationship or the person they're married to. It's just a individual thing. You know, would I have stayed behind that? No, I definitely wouldn't have. But I know women that, like I said, would have and probably have.
I'm glad you answered my next question because you said you would not have. And yes, I'm not.
No,
Well, I definitely would recommend this book. Now, let's stray a little bit away from the book. I love your affirmations, your daily scriptures. Those are sometimes the first things I see when I either go on Facebook or Twitter.
Oh,
so,
I'm glad somebody's
seeing them. Oh, yes, I see them. I was like, oh, I needed that today.
Oh, good.
So is that an app or you? Is that your verse that you're reading?
Usually it comes from what I've read because I try to read. A wise man once told me that if you read 3 chapters of the Bible a day, you can read the entire Bible in a year. So I've been reading 3 chapters of the Bible a day for years now. I've read through the Bible, more than once. I don't know how many times now. So usually it's a part of one of those 3 chapters that I read. Unless, like, around Christmas time, when it gets, like, the week before Christmas, I try to pick things that are relevant to Christmas because I'm really big on trying to keep the Christ in Christmas. So, you know, I might post something. It might not be necessarily what I read that day, but it may be relevant to the holiday. Same thing for Easter or Valentine's Day, I try to find a loved one. But more often than not, it comes from what I read that morning. And if I read through my 3 chapters and nothing jumps out at me, I'll just try to pull something, search for something that I think will be good to share.
Okay, just one moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that has. I'm having a little bit of technical difficulty.
Okay.
Just when I think everything is mastered, something else comes up.
That's life, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Just one moment. I apologize for the brief delay. And, I don't know why Carla had the breakdown. Can you describe why? I mean, it was a heavy buildup.
Yeah. Just everything she had gone through, and she just really, honestly, if you think about it, she didn't deal with anything. She kind of just went from trauma to trauma to trauma and just didn't deal with it, didn't really want to discuss it. You know, it had to be, Michael had to pull it out of her. She didn't want to even want to talk about it. And she kind of just ran away from everything and didn't deal with anything. So, you know, if you let enough stuff pile up on you, it's going to come out some kind of way, either good or bad. So it just piled up on her and, you know, just one thing. It kind of reminds me of, I remember once I was going through a lot of stuff and I was really stressed out. And I think I lost my cell phone and I just flew off the handle. I mean, I went off about that cell phone. And it wasn't even that big a deal. It's just that so much other stuff had piled up on me. So that cell phone just drove me over the edge. So I think it's just that avalanche effect where you just get everything piled up on you and it just has to come out. And if you're already in a fragile state, it just breaks you down. So that's the way I see it. That's what I meant when I wrote it, that you just had been through so much that it had to come out in some form. And, you know, if you hold a lot of stuff in, it's just eating away at you anyway, just little by little. And it's eating away at the frame of who you are, and there's nothing left to do but break down.
Well, why did she do it in the middle of the road?
You know, that's just when it hit her. You know, they just hit us at different times. Like I said about that cell phone, it just hit me right then, you know. wasn't even that big a deal. Now that I look back on it, I can laugh because I'm like, was I really that upset about that cell phone, you know? But, you know, it just happens when it happens. You know, you can't spend the time losing your mind. I think it's just the thought. Yeah, the thoughts just got to be too much for everything crowded in on her at one time.
Well, that's the truth. When that mind goes, that's it. It's going, and I don't think there's nothing that. And I think that's our own mind's way of protecting us.
Oh, definitely. Either that, or I think that's what separates some people from becoming like serial killers. I mean, I'm being serious. Either you break down, or you go break somebody else down. You know. You know, of course, anything is possible with God. I won't say that you just have to have a nervous breakdown. But if you're not seeking Him, then more than likely you will. You know, if you're not, you can have a headache and have Tylenol in the cabinet, but if you're not going and taking it, you're going to still have a headache. So that's the way I look at it. You can be someone who believes in God, but if you're not seeking Him, you're not praying and not trying to fix things, then you're just going to break down. That's just no other alternative for you.
So do you all, because I've picked up faith, a lot of faith-based information, even with Michael, whom I love,
mm-hmm.
when you have a man like Michael.
Yeah. Michael,
I think he was my favorite.
Yeah.
And, you know, the interesting thing is I did not realize his ethnicity until probably, actually, until he revealed it.
Yeah.
I didn't, I mean, even when she described in the description, I didn't see it. So you did a good job in building that up to where it was not even seeing a different color or a different ethnicity.
Yeah.
It was just love.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I want. I want it to be more about a spiritual connection. You know, it's more about his spirit and his goodness. And, I mean, of course, if I'm going to write a man, he's going to be fine. But that's, I'm sorry, that's just got to happen. But, you know, in addition to that, he was just a really good person, a good spirit. And, I wanted their connection to be more of a spiritual connection than anything. So I enjoyed writing him. I enjoyed looking at pictures of Native American men, just trying to pick out who I knew her, how I wanted to look in my head, but you know, it helps to have a visual. So I really enjoy writing that. I love every second of it, and especially his part though.
So what made you put in his character the way he was? What made you choose a different ethnicity?
Well, I have a thing about multicultural relationships and romances, and I always have, even growing up. I've only dated within my race, but I've always just been fascinated with it for some reason. And so if you pick up one of my books, you know, there might be two that are purely African-American relationships. The rest of them, I have a Pakistani male. I have The Love of King is a white hero in that one. So, ain't nobody a Brazilian. It just popped into my head. I'm going to be a Native American. And so that's what I did. It just came to
so
me.
So did you have to research about
I did. I researched it online. I went to a museum exhibit, watched a bunch of movies, watched a bunch of documentaries, and I really fell in love. I just fell in love with the Native American nation. I mean, I learned a lot of things that I just didn't know, and I feel bad because I didn't know it, because I feel like I should have known it, but I really did. I fell in love with everything about the Native American culture. And I felt like, man, I could write 10 books about Native American men, because I just learned about it. And really, I really worked hard trying to respect their culture and not to make it seem cliche and not to make it be all of the stereotypes that we know about them. And so I hope I did well in that. But, I enjoy. I'm the type of person that likes to research anyway. So I always say God doesn't waste anything. I was always the type of person, if I really liked something, I would obsessively research it anyway. So the research part is just kind of natural for me. So I think sometimes I pick a subject matter or a culture just so I can research it, because I want to research it. So.
So why do you feel like you should have known more about that culture?
Well, because they honestly are what I would say is the foundation of American history, because this is their land before it was anyone else's. But all we know of them is what's portrayed in media and films, and not realizing that there was like a huge genocide. You know, there were millions of them covering the United States, and there were like 100,000 Cherokee left. There might be 500,000 Native Americans left. That's just horrible when you think about the grand. This was their land, and they were, you know, Europeans just came and took it. So, I think because African American culture is so huge, and we're loud, you know, people know about us because we're not going to be pushed aside. But I feel like a lot of them have just been pushed aside, and I just had no clue, you know. Because what little I learned in school I didn't learn. It was little, so I didn't realize the full impact of what they went through, and how they still struggle. How living on a reservation is not a resort at all. They're poor, and there's a lot of alcoholism, and you know, it's just horrible when you think about it. So, like I said, I really I have a love for them now. I think Native Americans. Heritage Month is the same month that I published the book. I didn't even know that. I thought, man, I didn't know it had a month. You know, that's just horrible that I didn't know that.
So, yes, I think when we learn something, especially about another culture that we feel that we should have known, then it just gives us, well, you know, in school, I always felt that they teach us or taught us, now I'm way past school, they taught us what they wanted us to know, not what was accurate.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They gloss over it and they remember criticized a lot of stuff and talked about the great pioneers and all these explorers. When they would just come over here knocking folks off their land. I mean, to be honest with you, they just came over here and took somebody's land that they were already living on and spread all disease that they had never had. You know, it was just basically made them adopt their culture, you know. You know, I didn't even know that I gave him that name because they have regular names just like we do. But how many of us think that everybody's name is Running Feather Bull? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but we all think they have these nature names. Well, our people there were no Thompsons in Africa, you know. So our people didn't have these European names either. So I don't know. It was surprising to me that a lot of Native Americans have just English names. But then I thought, why is that surprising? Because every black person I know has an English name. And we're African of African descent. So if, you know, they basically made us adopt that, why wouldn't it make sense that they would have to do the same thing, you know? So, and I have been a lot of people.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, one of my coworkers is Somalian, Somali, and she, one of her things is, she always asks me, well, Chanel, what does your name mean? What do you mean, what does it mean? You know, and so she says, like, our name, and she asks me about my last name, and then she explains to me that their last name, it traces back to their lineage. They can go back to, you know, and that was, she said, we have long last names, but we only go by this one, and this is why. I said, well, you know, we don't really have a true identity.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know where, right. We don't really know where we really came from. Because, you know, it's just, I just don't, you know, it becomes complicated when you speak to another.
Yeah, it is kind of sad.
Right.
I will say that
right.
The Native Americans do have an advantage. And most of them can trace their lineage. Because there's so few of them now, and a lot of them are living on reservations and stuff, they can trace their lineage a lot better than we can. But and they have to be, like, to be a member of the Cherokee Nation, you have to know who the Cherokee was that was, you know, your ancestor, to be a member of that nation and get the benefits of it. So they do have that advantage over us because this was their land in the beginning, so they can trace it. You know, they have, like, ancient burial grounds and stuff here, and I was just kind of cut off. If they didn't keep good slave records, we won't even know who was on the plantation. I have no clue. I can't go past, like, my mother's mother. I just don't know. So, and that's a sad situation if you think about it.
Right, right. Well, I was participating in a conference once, and they were asking how many generations can you go back? And so, and I realized when I was in that conference, I was really blessed because I did know, but only on my grandfather's side, I knew, you know, his mother. So, generation who she was born a slave. And I knew her well. I spent time with her, everything. And so I said, well, I can go back, you know, my mother, my grandmother. I mean, my grandfather and his mother, so I can go back. That would have been, well, I would have made the fourth generation. But go back three generations, and no, not many of us can say that.
No. Yeah, and I wish that. I spent some time with my grandmother, my mother's mom, when I was a little girl, but I was a real quiet child, so I might have been in the room with her and not talked to her. I was really shy and really quiet. But now looking back on it, I really wish I had talked to her and learned about the family because I would like to know now, you know, but she's gone and my mother knows what little she did learn from her mother, but I, you know, and I've tried to research, go through the records, but there just aren't any, you know, they weren't, a lot of times they weren't taking the census on black people, you know. So it is a, you know, it's a sad thing. I am happy for anybody that can go back to, like, the slavery. I mean, I think they're just really fortunate, you know.
You're absolutely right. They are fortunate if they can, you know, go further. Even, I know she was born a slave, but, you know, I don't know if that was at the end of slavery or
yeah.
what. But, you know, we don't know anything past that. We do learn, and I was a quiet child too, but I listened. I didn't necessarily
yeah.
talk, but I listened. And I made sure I heard what the adults were saying.
Mm.
But, and so that's important because he did give her a, he did give her a native name.
Yeah, he did. He did, because her family was tripping. And I had to put that in there because when I was talking to my brother about the book, and I told him what I was going to name him, he said, that doesn't make any sense. Nobody's going to believe he's American with that name. And I tried to explain to him. I was like, just like your name is this, and you're African descent, this is his name. That doesn't make any sense. Nobody's going to believe it. You need to give him an Indian name. So
but, you
I
know,
did give him
that. Right, that's how
yeah.
we do when a stranger comes into our fold. We treat
yeah.
them, it's for them, because I can speak, and it's usually during a funeral.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they love to act up during a funeral or doing a family reunion.
Yeah, and you know how family is. If you have a big family, there's always going to be somebody that's not going to bite their tongue. They're going to come out and ask and everybody else wants to know. Yeah, I did that little part for him to appease him because he was just convinced that I was going to get all these messages from folks asking me why I named him.
No, I mean, I really, really enjoyed. And, again, we're talking to Adrienne Thompson, author of Better, which is book two in the Your Love is King series. So what are you working on next, Adrienne?
I just released Ain't Nobody, which is doing really well. I'm really happy. And I have another book that I'm releasing at the beginning of March entitled Home. And it was a challenge for me. I'm excited about it, but I'm scared because it's written in first person from a male's perspective. So I did my research and talking to my son-in-law and my brother and my son and ask, okay, how did you react like this to this? You know, trying not to make him be emotional because, you know, that would be my natural thing because I'm a woman. But I work really hard. I wanted to challenge myself because I'm easily burnt out and bored. And I never want to be burnt out with writing because it's what I love to do. So I said, well, I'm going to have to figure a way to challenge myself. So I decided to do it from a male perspective and not do it in third person, do it in first person. But I think it turned out well. I've read over it several times. It sounds good to me, and usually if it sounds good to me, it'll sound good to at least one somebody else. So I think, but it's good. It's about a rapper that returns home. His mother has Alzheimer's, so he needs to go home to check on her. And while he says he has to deal with his father, who at 70 is still running around on his mother, an aunt who is more nosy than helpful, and his sister is really flaky. So it's kind of a family, a dysfunctional family story. But it was interesting to write, and I think my readers will enjoy it. I hope they do.
I'm sure it sounds very good, but I have no doubt coming from you that it is. It will be very successful as the rest of your work. I enjoy reading you.
Well, I sure appreciate you.
My,
and I have some more stuff, too. I have a whole schedule for this year, but that's the immediate thing is Home in March.
Hi.
Well, this is what I do full-time now. I don't have another job. So I treat it like it's a 9-to-5. I get up sometimes at ridiculously early hours and start working. And I usually don't stop working until I just can't keep my eyes open anymore. So but it doesn't feel like work because I love it so much, so I don't mind. I mean, my sleep schedule is jacked up, but it's for you know, my passion. So I'm okay with it. And then I remember all the mornings I got up and drug up and, you know, got dressed and went to a job I hated. And when I think about that, I think, you know, I'll be okay. I can keep doing this at this speed. I'm all right, you know.
Well, my aunt, I call her my aunt. She's my aunt friend. She's not really my aunt, but she's my aunt. So she was saying, she said, "Chanel, is that your cousin that's coming on? I mean, we have a cousin named Adrian Thompson as well."
Oh, wow.
Right. And I said, "Oh, no, that's not the cousin that writes. That's not she. Her name is Faye Thompson. Adrian Thompson, yes, we do have a cousin named Adrian Thompson, but that's not her. You have to remember she was born before." She said, "Oh, okay. Oh, I remember."
That's so funny. It's amazing how many Adrian Thompsons there are. That's so crazy. I really thought there was a unique name, but there are a lot of them.
Yes, yes. We actually have a family member named Adrian Thompson, although he is male. And
oh, wow. Yeah. Well, my daughter, I named my daughter after me, so she's Adrian Thompson, too.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah, I like my name. That's why I want to give to somebody.
They have a boy and a girl, and each are named, both are named after their parents.
Oh, see, me and my ex-husband did that. I have a junior after him, and then my oldest, her name is Alindria, and then my son is named after my ex-husband. And when I had the youngest, I said, "I'm going to name after me. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl." And he said, "No, you're not naming my son after you." He said, "You're not going to have people teasing my son because he named after his mom." I said, "Well, you better hope it's a girl." And we're divorced. I guess you can see why. But anyway. So I was glad it was a girl, so I would have to fight him on his name.
Oh, bless you. Well, yes, and I was torn. And that was one of the things she told me to do. Name her after you. So, and I now I can't even do it. I like my name, so I don't want anyone else named after me. I'm selfish like that. But I did give, I gave my youngest one my middle, I gave her middle name as my first name.
Oh, okay.
So I did.
Yeah.
Do for fun, your full-time job is a writer, which you do very well. So what does Adrian do for fun? Even though writing is fun.
Yeah. Well, I my work is fun, but and stressful. It is stressful. I mean, it's fun, but you never know how people are going to react to what you write. So it's always stressful when I publish something, but it's still fun. But I love going to the movies. I love any type of music. Hopefully this year I can get out and go to some live shows a little better than last year, because I love that kind of stuff. And just anything, I love to go to art galleries. Me and my daughter last Saturday just went and explored art galleries. We just kind of geeky like that. So, you know, I just like to look at art. I do like to sleep sometimes for fun.
Well, yes, I do see you on Twitter and Facebook. Sometimes as early as I'm up, I see you posting.
Yeah.
When I call myself.
Some of it's automated. I don't want you to think I'm just insane. Some of it is automated. I'm not necessarily.
Now,
I
love that. I love the auto. Now, which one do you use for the auto? Because I use Hootsuite.
Yeah, I use Hootsuite. Yeah.
That is the best thing anyone could have taught me.
Definitely. I love it. I love it. And it really helps get the word out, especially Twitter. I know a lot of people think that it's spammy, but if you're not repetitive on Twitter, it will just get lost because there are too many posts. So
right.
I don't do a lot of repetition. I do some repetition on Facebook, but not nearly as much as I would do on Twitter because you just have to. If you want to be seen, you've got to do that. So once I figured that out, I knew I was going to automate it because there's no way I'm going to sit in front of a computer on my phone and tweet all, you know, nonstop all day. So.
Right, absolutely. And I loved it because I work full time during the day. And if I get really busy at work, I might forget I need to put the tweet out. So I try to do it every hour, you know, so that it's out, you know, about the show. On the day of the show,
yeah.
Right? But I love the schedule. I love that aspect of sleep.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah,
it works out. Yeah. So someone said, you are on Twitter all the time. No, honey, that is a schedule. I did that last week.
Yeah, I set that up long ago. So, yeah. I mean, I love Hootsuite. I swear by Hootsuite. I mean, if you use it consistently, it really works out for you.
Yes, it took me a minute to get acclimated to it. But now that I am, I love it. I absolutely do. Now, where can the fans reach you? How do they connect with you?
You can reach me on Facebook. Facebook is my main hangout. If you just search up Adrienne Thompson or Adrienne Thompson, it's a public profile, so it should pop up. Twitter, Google+, Goodreads, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, LinkedIn. So I'm everywhere that you can just about think of. My home base is adriennethompsonwrites.webs.com. It's my website. And there you can find links to everywhere else, to all of my social media. At the bottom of the home page is links to all of my social media, including my YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, too. And I also have a blog, which is connected to the website, adriennethompson.blogspot.com. And I blog pretty regularly. You can also reach me through my email address, which is on my website. I love to hear from people. It just makes my day. And that's for any author. If you're working really hard and you're putting out content and you want to know that somebody's reading it, even if you don't like it, you want to know somebody's actually reading it. Because a person can purchase a book and not read it. So I want to be read. I'm not one of those people that just wants to be purchased. I want to be read, too. And because I do feel like this is a ministry for me, and if nothing will come with the ministry if the work is not being read. So if you read any of my work, anybody, feel free to contact me. I'm not one of those people that I'm above talking to readers. I'm nowhere near that. I love corresponding with them. You can inbox me. You can tweet me. The only way I don't respond is I just don't see it or I'm asleep. And it may take me a minute to get to it. But I try to respond to everybody, you know. Unless you go, if it goes to spam and it's lost and I don't see it, that's one thing. But if I see it, I'm going to try to respond to everyone because I appreciate everybody that's ever even thought about reading it. I appreciate you because that was my greatest fear, that no one would ever read anything I wrote. I was so afraid of that. So I'm so tickled that people actually, like, read it and anticipate the next thing I'm going to put out and buy it and tell other people. That is literally, if I never sell a million books, that my dreams have already come true because somebody's reading it and enjoying it and taking things from it, you know, learning. Or, I get emails that this really helped me and I know I can make it because that character can make it. And that's why I do it. If I didn't get paid a penny, I would still write for that very reason. So I said all that to say, feel free to contact me.
And Carla is the epitome of survivors you know, faith and God. Because, you know, what I like about it is the fact that she started off in church. This happened. She left church, which we do. In the end, where did she find herself? Right back on her knees.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
So you do come full circle, and she had to go through a lot to actually get to that complete 360. She went through hell.
Yeah, that's what I say. Somebody asked me which character would I want to hang out with. I said none of them because I put them through too much stuff. I'm not going to be hanging out with them and them trying to get back at me. So I put them through horrible things. But, but honestly, I feel like my calling is to let people know who are going through stuff like that. It will get better. You can heal and it can get better. It may take a while. But if you can find your way back to God, it will get better, you know. And I know that from experience.
real. So did you experience any of what Carla went through?
No, I didn't see it. No, ma'am, I didn't see it. That was all a figment of Adrian's imagination.
They don't get it twisted. No, no.
No, I ain't never been through that. And I wish a Native American man would live next door to me. Wow, I wish that part was true. I had a reader the other day tell me, she said, my next vacation is going to be to your mind because that's where all the fine men live.
Oh, that's a thought. It's kind of the way it was described, and he was described, and Chris, too. I wanted to see what Chris. Okay, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, Chris is
and
my mom's favorite. She loves the Chris.
Right. How fine they were as a Caucasian man and a Native American man. That love black women?
Hey,
where are
you
they
know,
then?
There are some, though. Seriously, though. There are. I mean, I try to make it as realistic as possible. I do my research. So there are some, I mean, very different ethnicities that prefer black women. There's not a whole lot of them, but there are some. As soon as I find where they are, I'll let you know. You'll know because his picture will be all over my profile. with the title of my boo.
That is funny. So what advice would you have for a up-and-coming writer who wishes to start? And what advice would you give?
My main advice that I try to give to everybody is if you want to write, just write. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be in the right order. It doesn't have to be grammatically correct at first. You know, you do want to get it edited, but just write. Whatever comes to your mind, just let it flow and just write it. And most importantly is trust your writing voice. Your writing voice doesn't have to sound like anybody else's. I know that mine is different from what a lot of people are used to. It's not the flowery, you know, stuff. I just can't do it. I don't even have the attention span to read that, let alone write it. So trust your voice. Whatever your writing voice is unique to you. And that's what makes a success, is uniqueness. The most successful books are books that nobody else thought to write because they're unique. And they were trendsetters. And you want to be a trendsetter. You don't want to be a trend follower. So trust your voice, trust your story, trust your characters. If you follow the characters, you just cannot go wrong. You know, it doesn't have to make sense to you. The story doesn't have to make all that much sense to you, but as long as the characters are driving you, then you'll be fine.
So did you – that's great advice, by the way, and I'm taking it all in, too. So did you know how the story – how that particular – story was going to end, or did you? How did you bring it all together?
The short answer, no. I knew the way it usually works with me. I know what it's going to be about. I know some of what's going to happen, maybe the meat of what's going to happen, like, you know, what's going on in her marriage, that type of thing. But a lot of it, I have no clue. And by the time it gets to the middle, I'm ready to just delete it because I'm like, what is happening? I don't know what's getting ready. I don't like to have that lack of control. Like, I don't even know what's getting ready to happen next. I mean, I'm halfway through. I know I'm halfway through it. What's going to happen next? You know? So that's what I mean by letting the story kind of unfold and letting the characters lead you. Because I could, if I tried to tell them what to do, I would mess it up. I know I would. But... Now, I had, it's the ending. I rewrote the ending like 5 times, so no, I didn't have a clue what she was going to do.
Oh, my gosh. So can you please describe what one of the alternate endings was?
Let's see, what was one of them? I think one of them, I might have had a wedding or something. I don't know, but it just didn't feel right. I mean, I know a lot of people were upset with me because there wasn't more to the ending of what their life was like after that. But it just didn't, you know, if it doesn't feel right, I just can't do it. And it just, it was a tiny little up a little too neatly for me. That makes sense?
Right.
It's like
yeah.
wrapping a ball around and making it just, I just, if it doesn't feel right, then, and that's not the first book that I've done that, Locked Out of Heaven, another book of mine, I rewrote it and rewrote and rewrote the end because I had it not what I wanted it to be. And it just never felt right. And finally, I went back to like the first thing I ever wrote, and I thought, okay, this is gonna have to be it because I can't do anymore. I was just tired. But and that was the one it needed to be. So, and I mean, you know, we may be seeing some more of Marley and Chris and Michael and Carla in the future, anyway. So, you know, it was only for me to put all that at the end because we're probably gonna see them again.
Oh.
Now,
yeah.
Treat. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I love them.
That's good because you know I'm hoping because I like how that relationship evolved between Michael and Carla, and I think I do want to see more of Chris and Marley?
Yeah, Marley. Yeah.
I do want to see more and their backstory and how, because it seems like he's so supportive of everything she wants.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just need to, have you read your letters to them? That's all about them. Now, you need to read your letters to them, read how they got together.
But yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's very good. I'm telling you, I wouldn't steer you
on.
It's really good.
Oh, I know, honey. I just read better, so I know.
Yeah, it's. I mean, a lot of people really, really. Some people were a little upset because you know, better wasn't about Marley and Chris, but Carla had has a minor story in The Love Is King. A lot of people had asked, well, I want to see what happened to her after that. So because that's why I wrote better, and because the story came to me for better. But if a story, you know, if I don't get a story in my head, it doesn't matter what anybody asks me, it just won't happen. But that story happened to come into my head. Now I do have a story for Marley and Chris, and Carla and Michael will be there too. So we'll see. So you're gonna have to read Your Love Is King before this other one comes out. So you'll be all ready.
Well, I will read that. I will actually download that when we get off. Is it available on Amazon too?
Yeah, it's available. You can get it. Now, you might want to wait. It's going on sale Sunday.
Okay.
The price is coming down Sunday, so nobody's gonna buy another book before. I'm just messing myself up. They'd be like, y'all don't buy it.
See, I don't have a lot of patience when I want to find something else. So,
but hey, you know what? I would not be upset if you buy it tonight. But it's on Kindle, Nook, and Kobo, and paperback. So it's been out a little over a year. So, but it's got a lot of good reviews.
Well, I'm sure it has. I just read better. So I'm really sure it has that, you know, I read better. I started it, actually, I downloaded it a while. But then, of course, I got sick. So that throws me so behind. But better is really an easy read. It's a quick read. And what I like about, and see, that's the beauty of books. Once I start reading, once the storyline gets me, and the opening scene, her coming home, that got me. So I was.
Yeah, you
I needed to know
to
how
read it part in the beginning.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you had me. That was the little hook that drew me right in, and so then I get frustrated because I don't want anyone calling me. My daughter calls, and I hadn't spoken to my daughter in a couple of days. So she calls me. I had to put it down for a minute. She says, what are you doing? I'm finishing up this book. So I'm going to have to call you back once I'm done. Once I'm done, I'll call you back. So I don't really want to be disturbed. I actually put my phone sometimes in the do not disturb mode so that I can, I don't want any calls. I don't want to text me because now I'm actually in the scene. I'm feeling these emotions. I forget what part. I was trying to cook dinner and Kindle on. And I'm sitting here, I'm crying. Like,
a lot of people have told me that, and it kills me because I'm like, why y'all cry? Why y'all cry? Because, I wrote it, so I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's all right. I guess that's a bit.
Well,
so, yeah.
I started crying because I think it was the point where he really loved her, but he wasn't going to, when he walked away, when he came looking for at her mother, and as he walked away, she whispered how she really felt him. And I'm like, oh, I'm sitting here crying like, oh, my God, she let me. And then, but her mother was so wise.
Yeah, she was. I liked her mother.
Was
her mother. My mother? Not quite. No, I'm kidding. My mother, she is. She's told me a lot of stuff. It's that thing, when you're young, your mother tells you stuff, and you're thinking, yeah, whatever. You don't know what she's talking about. You know that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now I can look back and say, dang, mama knew what she was talking about. My mother's still alive, but I can think back to, dang, she really knew what she was talking about. I probably should have listened to her. So, yeah, I did learn a lot of really valuable stuff from my mom. It just took me to be grown and have grown kids to figure out a lot of this stuff was, was very valuable, and I'm glad that she told me those things.
So was she a seer, or because she would often know?
No. My mother.
She just
was, okay.
No, yeah, Carla's mom.
Oh, yeah, Carla's mom, yeah. She had the, I don't know if I guess you could call it a seer. Some people just things come to them in their dreams. I know people like that just things, or they just know things before they happen. I've done that before, where I know something's going to happen before it happens. But honestly, I pulled her from, I used to be a home health nurse. And I have this weird thing that happens to me that people just will tell me their life story, and they'll tell me everything about them, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something about me that they know they can do that. But my patients were always like that, too. So I was the nurse that would be there for an hour when it should have taken 20 minutes because they're talking to me. And I had a Hispanic patient, and she was the seer, and she would just tell me all this stuff. She predicted my grandson's birth and all this stuff and was right about all of it. So that's where a lot of it came from.
Oh, okay. Well, as we're winding down, Adrian, What is it that, was there anything that I didn't go over or that I didn't ask you that you would have wanted us to discuss?
I can't think of anything. I think we covered it pretty well. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed writing it, so it always makes me happy if someone enjoys reading it. I guess the biggest thing I would want anybody to take away from Better is what I want them to take away from everything that I write, that basically no matter what condition you are in, how broken you are, how messed up you are, you're still worthy of healing and you're still worthy of love. And that's the message I try to send with every book. You don't have to be perfect for someone to love you. So
that's good.
If you pick up one of my books, I hope that you will get that from them. You'll see that in the stories. All women are beautiful, if you see that I wrote the one was beautiful, it may not be beautiful the way you think of beautiful. To me, all women are beautiful. So we're all beautiful.
Absolutely.
Now, when I say the man is fine, if I say the man is fine, he's really, really fine. But I'm
Well, I will end with answering the two questions. Well, first, are all of your books, at the end of your books, do you always provide the discussion questions? Because I love books like that.
No, they just, really, that shit was really organic for this book, just like they just popped into my head, and I thought, huh, I'm going to put them at the back. So they just kind of came to me, so I added them. There are discussion questions for the other books on my website. I developed some and I put them on my website, and you can download and print them out. They're PDF files. That's the first book that it came to me right then, and I put it in the book.
Well, I'll answer question 11 and 12 as we close. I love the book. I really did enjoy it, because the question is, enjoy the book. Did it change any of your views? And it did. It, although I'm not opposed to dating outside of my race, but when I think about dating outside of my race, I always think just Caucasian. I don't think
a lot of people do. They do, but so I'm glad you got that from that.
Yes, I did. And so that was something new that I learned. Well, no, that was a view that was changed. What I learned new was that the Stockholm Syndrome for rape victims, I didn't really associate that with rape victims.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was going through that in the middle of the highway and after she read and when she had to go through her 3-week vacation, I understood that. You know,
yeah.
And I was like, wow. So I didn't realize that, you know, rape victims actually did that.
And the crazy thing about that is I had written all of that, and I thought, is there a name for this? Because all the stories, I mean, I just already written it. So I looked it up. I said, oh, man, this really happened.
Oh, right.
Just in my mind. Yeah,
right.
It actually really happened. So, yeah, it's crazy how I'll write something like that. I don't know if you read Little Sister, but I wrote that, and the character has PTSD. And somebody left a review and said, wow, she really knows PTSD. I thought, no, I just wrote it. You know, and it just came to me that way. I have to say it's God, because some of this stuff I don't know personally. It comes to me, and then when I look it up, that's what it is, you know.
Right, right. Well, you did a good job. It came across. I understood it. I recognized it. It actually made me step back and look at, you know, some other things within me.
Thank you.
So,
that's
you
great.
Did a good job. And the final question is, would you recommend this book to others? Absolutely. But I would recommend anything you write to others.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot.
You just such a, I mean, it's just, I like your work. I love your work.
Thank you.
I appreciate you writing. And I so appreciate the time that you have taken to sit with me out of your busy schedule to sit and chat with us.
Well, I definitely appreciate you for inviting me. And anytime you want to invite me back, I will definitely come back and chat with you again.
Well, thank you so much, Adrian. I will see you on Twitter and Facebook.
Definitely.
You have a blessed night, my dear. And thank you again
so
much.
And good night. Thank you to your listeners. Good night.